Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
People, every day, trying to do things their own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words. To think twice before you step or give advice, make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words that make people and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are, cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start, word can buy, from ideas deep in your mind. It's words that make people, and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your mind.
Mm-hmm.
IWD for setting me free with work.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Refuge, protection with Allah. Minash shaitan, away from shaitan, nir rajeem, the rejected, accursed, open enemy to mankind. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Allah is merciful twice. He redeems us. That's the second mercy, Ar-Rahim. The first mercy, Ar-Rahman, he gives us benefits. Dear beloved listeners, people, assalamu alaikum. That means God's peace be with you. My name is Michael Sahir, Mikhail Sahir, also the resident imam in Indianapolis, Indiana. And you get tuned in to Words Make People. And we say Alhamdulillah, which means the perfect praise belongs to God. This month here, October, is also our birth month, if you will. We have now completed 11 years of this production called Words Make People. 11 years. And we're very humbled and very grateful for that, for having been able to achieve this blessing of 11. I'd like to add in that word consecutive. 11 consecutive years of being on this ways. Well, we began with another station. We came to station IWDM maybe seven, eight years ago. But alhamdulillah, this is a month for celebrating our anniversary. 11 years done. Looking forward to many, many more, inshallah, God willing. And those who listen regular know that our format for this production, this radio program, is, since it's called Words Made People, we always begin reading from the Quran, because that is the collection of words, the best words for making the best people. The best words for making the best people. So we always read from the Quran first before getting into our topic. Our topic, as you may know, our main topic is titled Establishing and Maintaining Claire Bahamut Weekend Schools, emphasizing the word weekend or weekend schools. And we have a number of guests coming on today, many who have long histories of weekend schools or some who are interested and trying to establish one in their locale. So we're going to begin reading from the Quran first. We're going to read from chapter. I thought I had it on my screen. Oh, what do I do with that? Well, let me go back and find the chapter. I had it saved on my computer screen. And I must have put something on top of it. Let me see, can I find it here? Just give me a second to see, can I find it here? I had it set direct, and I think I was doing some research on this issue going on, that sad situation going on in Israel and Gaza. And I was, because at the end of this program, I want to make a comment about that situation going on there. And I think in my research, I covered up what I had that I wanted to read. And here it is. I found it. We're going to read from chapter 51, verse 55, a very short verse, impactful. As a matter of fact, every ayat means verse. Every ayat, a verse of the Quran, is impactful. And if we go even further, every single word of the Quran has this impact, a powerful, positive impact for making human beings, or to make people. And as we know, as Muslims, before reading the Quran, we always seek God's protection from Satan, the rejected enemy. So we always say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. That is, I seek refuge with God, with Allah, from Satan, the rejected enemy. That's what we always say before reading the Quran. We seek God's protection from Satan, the rejected enemy. And then next, we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which in English is saying, with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Those are two phrases we always say before reading the Quran. And then Muslims, we know, if we're reading chapter 9, we do not say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But we do always say before reading the Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, again, which means, I seek protection with God from Satan, the rejected enemy. We always say that. So let us begin reading this ayat here. It says, Wa thakri fa innal idna thikra. يفكر تنفو المؤمنين وذكر فإن ذكر تنفع المؤمنين. Allah is telling us in this very short ayat, verse of the Quran, Allah says, but teach. And the word for teach here in Arabic is saying zakir. We know as Muslims we often do zikr from the same word. Zikr means to think, to reflect. But here in this format here, in this grammatical format here, is saying it is to say to teach. So thinking, pondering, and teaching. We all go back to the same root in the Arabic. Allah is saying, but teach your message. Or it says, to remind them of this message. For teaching or giving a reminder, it benefits the believers. It benefits the believers. It says, Tenfa'u, that's saying benefits. Tenfa'u, benefits. El mukminin, the believers. So this ayat here of the Quran, again, chapter 51, verse 55, is telling us that we should teach each other. Teach them the message. Now, Yusuf Ali says, but teach your message, for teaching benefits the believers. That's the Yusuf Ali translation. The Muhammad Asad translation of that same verse reads as follows. Quote, yet go on reminding all who will listen, for verily such a reminder will profit the believers. So we are given clear instructions in this particular ayah of the Quran that we should teach, that we should teach each other. Education is very important, dear people. Education for the Muslims is very important. And so we always seek to take any opportunity that we have and to teach and to share knowledge. Prophet Muhammad, the past and peace be upon him, he made public education an obligation upon every male and female. not just males, and not just the males in higher authority, but for every male, no matter what your status may be. Also, for every female, no matter what her status may be, Muhammad the Prophet, peace and peace be upon him, he made education an obligation upon every man, woman, and child. And we can see that, and what history is telling us, that Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, was the first, or one of the first, we say the first, to establish public education. Before that, and even now to a large degree, education is segregated. It may not be racially anymore. It could be social. It could be a certain status of people, to where one get a more complete education that allows them to come, grow up and to become the boss and the owner, to where many of us, we only get the basic education to allow us to just be employees and never employers. So there's still segregation in many ways in education. But Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, whatever he taught to the learned man, he also taught to the common man and the common woman. Now, later on, Muslims established these big institutions, and they will hold back information from you. But Muhammad the Prophet, he didn't do that. He said, teach the message, for teaching benefits the believers. And this is our focus today. This is our focus here today for this program, is to promote education, the importance of education, to whatever level or degree that you may be able to share or to establish, that's the word, establish education to whatever degree you can. Do it, please, because we are told in the Quran in numerous places the importance of teaching and learning. There's even a verse in the Quran, as you all may recall, where the Quran says, even during the time of war and battle, it says, do not send the whole contingent forward into the fight. It says, hold back a group from your fighting men so that they can devote themselves to serious study. And the reason why they devote themselves to serious study is so that when the men who do go to battle, when they come back, then they can educate them. So education for Muslims is very important. For believers, education is very important. And every prophet of God came to educate. Every last one of them came to educate. And the main education that they are bringing, out the education of human excellence. And I'll close on this point here. He shared in the Friday Kutbah just 2 days ago was the topic that I chose for the sermon was, quote, see Al-Islam as one big classroom, end quote. That was the title for Ijumma this past Friday here in Indianapolis. See our religion as one large classroom. It is constantly teaching us. It is constantly elevating us. It is bringing out that which Allah put in us and presenting it to us in a language to where we can really develop ourselves and bring out and raise up our human excellence. So this is our reading for today, chapter 55. Let me double check here, please. Yes, I was right. Chapter 51, verse 55, where Allah says, wa thakkari فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. But teach or remind for teaching and reminding benefits and gives a profit to the believers, to the believers. So I guess one note on that last word. It says, "Es mukminin," for the believers. So education and belief must go hand in hand. They are not separate. Belief and education go hand in hand. And then completing our reading of the Quran, then we say, "Sadaqallahu al-Azim." Sadaqallahu al-Azim, and that is saying that God has spoken a mighty truth, and that would be our reading for today. I do want to make another observation. It was a blessed day yesterday for our Muslim life of the evolution, or you know, evolution, that's the word, development, evolution of our Muslim community in North America. I was invited to come to the American Islamic College in Chicago. They had a beautiful program called Starry Crown. And as you know, it was in reference to the hat of the Fez that was so much promoted by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the hat that he wore with the crescent moon and all the stars, was on display yesterday at the American Islamic College there in Chicago. And the creator of the Fez, Dr. Shakila Hassan, she was there as well. And we know also yesterday, October 7th, is the date recognized as the birthday of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So that was very significant to do this presentation yesterday, October 7th. And a side note, from what I understand, I think it may be postponed until today. In Harlem, New York, they are given an honorary naming of a street also after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad there in Harlem, New York. But from what I was told, the weather was inclement, and so they postponed it until today. We give praise and thanks to Allah for these recognitions. But the one yesterday I was able to attend, Dr. Shakila Hassan and her husband, Dr. Zia Hassan, may Allah forgive him for his sins. They were friends of Sister Claire and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad going back to 1956. When they were very young, new to America, and the Muslims that they were able to come in contact with were the Nation of Islam back in 1956. And so she became like a daughter to Sister Claire Muhammad. And Dr. Shakila Hassan, she turned 90 on the 6th of October. But you couldn't tell by looking at her yesterday. Just as vibrant and smiling and alert. But she's the one that designed that fast, that famous fast that we know of that was worn by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. She was the one that designed it, and she was there. And the Chicago Historical Museum, I think I've seen that name correctly, they were there at the celebration because they took the fast with them to put it on display in the Chicago Historical Museum. And they have five generations from Elijah Muhammad's family there yesterday. And coincidentally, it was not planned. They have five generations from Dr. Shakila Hassan's family there also. And it was a magnificent event to see this recognition being done by at the American Islamic College. So in addition to that being done at the American Islamic College, to to have the Chicago Historical Museum come and to receive the fest. They also made an announcement. There was an announcement made by one of the granddaughters of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Sister Claire Muhammad. Her name is Dr. Jalila Muhammad. I think Duke was is her married name. So please forgive me. I don't have my notes in front of me. And they announced a scholarship, a full scholarship at their college, the American Islamic College, that's going to be called the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Sister Claire Muhammad Scholarship. And so that's going to be kicked off very soon, inshallah. And along with that, the president of the college, Dr. Tim, I do not want to mangle his last name, so Dr. G, Tim G, he reminded us they have another full scholarship that covers tuition and all. And that other scholarship at this college is called the Imam W.D. Muhammad Scholarship. So it was quite an honorable day. You know, there were people from Mr. Farrakhan's community there. There were people from Imam Muhammad's community there. And there were other Muslims there as well, and non-Muslims. So inshallah, that will be covered soon in the Muslim Journal and newspaper. There's a lot of good things going on, believers, in our community. We have the Imams, not the Imams, because it's not only for Imams, it's for sisters too. We have the Leadership Conference coming up very soon in Orlando, Florida in 2 weeks. Yes, 2 weeks from now. So that should be a very good event coming up also. Here in Indianapolis, November 12th, 11th and 12th, we have some good events as well. We have our 31st consecutive Parent Appreciation Banquet here in Indianapolis, Indiana. And our speaker is going to be Dr. Khalila Ali Camacho. She is the second wife of Muhammad Ali, and she has a new book called Undefeated, The Untold Story. Again, called Undefeated, The Untold Story. And so she was with Muhammad Ali during the time when he was battling with the Supreme Court, with the U.S. Army draft board, and when he fought Foreman and Frazier and Ken Norton. She was his wife at that time. So she was with him during the very serious years of his career. So she can be here in Indianapolis the 11th for a book signing and also the 12th for our banquet. Okay. We're going to get into our topic today. Our topic is titled Establishing and Maintaining Claire Muhammad Weekend Schools. And there should be a list of people who are going to be commentating today. If I'm looking for their numbers on the screen, I don't see them yet. But if you are here to represent a Claire Muhammad Weekend School, please press 1 on your phone and looking for Dr. Hamid as well to join us. Dr. Hamid Al-Amin from Huntsville, Alabama. He's working with the staff of full-time schools. So I'm still looking for their names and numbers. I do not see them on the list yet. But inshallah, we bring them on. I think I'm looking for our local principal as well, Sister Curl Allender, if she can, whenever she signs on, if she can press 1 on the phone as well. I thought I saw her number on here. I guess I don't. But we have to keep moving. So let me just begin making some comments. And hopefully that my guest will be signing on very soon, inshallah. Bismillah. We know as Muslims that education is super important. We had just made some comments before how it is really an obligation upon us to have education, to establish education that is taught by us. Here in Indianapolis, the praise belongs to Allah, the perfect praise belongs to Allah. We have had a weekend school here for well over 40 years. I know me and my wife, Carolyn, we've been married for 43 years, and the weekend school was here before that. So I'm just going to say 45 years of having a weekend school here in Indianapolis, Indiana. And we're very proud of that. Some had questioned, they said, well, isn't it time for a full-time school? Well, each city will have to answer to their own needs, because we do not want to get into a situation that cannot be managed. But we do have a weekend school here. We have our principal, Sister Carol Allender. I'm going to bring her on now. And also that I'm the director of the weekend school. But Sister Carol Allender, welcome to Words Made People. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Imam Sahir.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
You there? Yes, ma'am. We can hear you loud and clear. So you are there now at the Masjid, right? Well, weekend school right now.
Yes, sir. We're here now, having a great time here at the weekend school. They just finished out halal lunch.
Alhamdulillah. And that's one thing we talked about often, too, is being able to have one reason for having a weekend school. We can't have the full-time school. That's one reason. And that would be a aspiration for us to achieve one day, inshallah. But also, we recognize that everybody, or not everybody, that's a big word, too many people have access to our children to influence their thinking, teach them, and we don't have that time unless we intentionally create that time and space. And that's a big push for us, for our Claire Muhammad Weekend School in Indianapolis. And we tell this to our students so they know that we want to have a time in the week, at least one day, a portion of the day, to where we have your undivided attention away from the TV and everything else that's out in society talking to you. Sister Carol, can you give us any of your thoughts or whatever on the our weekend school and the importance of it, and any words of encouragement you can share with other people who may want to begin a weekend school?
Yes. The Clara Muhammad Weekend School is a special beauty in our community because our children come from so many different backgrounds, where they're coming through township schools, public schools, Islamic schools of different, no one say thoughts, but different persuasions. And so We as African American Muslims under the leadership of Imam Warfdeen Muhammad, we want to get a better understanding of Al-Islam and mm-hmm. the teachings of Imam Warfdeen Muhammad for leadership later in their life. And so we tried to bring this school together so they have a soft place to fall, ask the questions they need to ask, because many of them are coming in to junior high school. We have few went off to college, that their teacher is going to be challenging them with their own religion. And they have to know their religion and the reasons behind the things we do. And some of these teachers are gaining thoughts from the television and not from study. And our children definitely have studied, learning, you know, through the Arabia, word power, and the tafsir of Imam Warfdeen Muhammad, how their religion is taught, and through the love of Clara Muhammad, keep, you know, pushing for our children to really be educated. So that's my thoughts on, you know, starting a weekend school, because you know, now we have children that entered into the college life in Indianapolis. We want to protect them.
You know, it reminds me of the verse of the Quran where Allah tells us in the Quran, he says, "Oh, you who believe, yeah, I aminu ku efusikum, oh, you who believe, save yourselves and your families."
Yes.
And so this is what we're looking at here. We know here in Indianapolis, I'm sure it's nationwide, to where some things that we have shared with our youth during weekend school, they carry that information with them and have been able to help the teachers in public schools get things correct. But if they had not been coming to our weekend school, they would not have been equipped to correct. And that's what it was. I know one, you know, is kind of common now because people don't, they had quit calling Columbus Day Columbus Day. They called it Indigenous American Day or whatever, different names. But our young sister, the teacher said, you know, Columbus discovered America, and Khadijah's hand shot up. Said, no, that's not right. And long story short, it was due to her coming to our weekend school that she was able to bring to the teacher. The teacher, at first, the teacher was trying to defend that the old school belief, but by Khadijah pushing the issue, the teacher went down some research and came back and changed it. Changed it. Yes, alhamdulillah. So our weekend schools give our children a sense of belonging. Our weekend schools give our children a sense of connection to the masjid and to the Quran, because we teach from the Quran as well. Any other thoughts, Sister Curl, on the importance of establishing and maintaining Claire Muhammad weekend schools?
Yes, the weekend school is not, you know, it is not, you know, something that's fly by night. This is a lifestyle for our youth. And so we have to remember that we establish in this school to provide a lifestyle for their life when they're entering adulthood, college life, becoming parents, getting married, all these things. So the weekend school, and we have talked to many of our students that have now is in their adulthood, have children they own. They say they can never forget the weekend school and how much they learned there and kept them together, that they're passing on to their children. And even in their work, you know, and job, you know, he's guided them with thoughts and things, how to do things, because they have came to the Clara Muhammad weekend school. And,
yes, ma'am.
And this makes me feel good when I hear about this. You know, I talk to people that were students of Imam Sadiq, may Allah be pleased with him, that they were
Muhammad
glad that they came, Muhammad Sadiq, that they had came to the weekend school and had these different teachers that came along and taught them here. And this is the third generation of Muslim children from Indianapolis that's growing up into the Clara Muhammad weekend school. And they're really excited by being a part. You know, want to come back each Sunday and learn. And, you know, it's just a beautiful transition to me, you know, for our students.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am. Yeah, what you're saying reminds me at the end of our school year this past June, May or June, that some of the students were kind of let down. They poked their lips out when they found out that the weekend school was going to be over with for the summer. You know, they were like, kind of like, oh, no. Because they really enjoy coming to the weekend school. I see my wife's number on here. She's the assistant. I'm going to ask Carolyn to press one on her phone. I want to bring her into the conversation as well, Carolyn, and get your thoughts, because you've been very faithful with the weekend school. So she can Well, I'm going to bring y'all on. I hope you're at nearby your phone. You there, Carolyn? If I was working with the students. Carolyn?
Yeah,
I'll come back. Yeah, I'm going to come back to her. Okay, we got some people that have signed on as well. Some numbers I recognize and don't recognize. We have a 213 number on here I do not recognize. Maybe they have a question or comment. Call us in 213. You have a question or comment, please, for our program.
Hey, yes. Assalamu alaikum.
That's what I mean.
Yes, brother, I mean, Sister Claire Muhammad, stemschool.com. I just wanted to know.
What city
Los
are you
Angeles.
In?
Well, I'm in Los Angeles, but the STEM school is online, and it's all over the world, you know. But,
yes,
you know, and I just wanted to know what hours do you have? And I'm, you know, I'm going to ask, I'm listening because I'm writing, as we speak, I'm creating the weekend school here, a physical brick and mortar, or no, just a physical school instead of just online. So I'll be asking a lot of questions because I need the guidance.
Okay.
The question I have right now is the hours that you have on Saturday and Sunday.
Well, we can answer for Indianapolis. Others may come on and have different responses for their respective cities because it's flexible. There's Sister Kelly, you want to respond to that, please?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. For Indianapolis area, we have the weekend school on Sunday from 10:30 to 2 or maybe to 3, depending on what lecture is taught. But we do a variety of classes here that the children have also provide a halal lunch for the children because a lot of them are getting up early to get here because they're living from different parts of Indianapolis coming to the weekend school. And the classes are based on the three languages Imam Wafdi Muhammad told us to give to the children. Spanish, French, and Arabic, word power, Muslim journal, sewing, and we incorporate in Islamic studies, and we from 5 to 18. So we do a variety of other classes, field trips. You know, it's just whatever teachers come in, we switch the program up. We have working with Butler University to come in and help our youth. So this is what we do here in Indianapolis, and I think that's what made us success, that we opened the school up also to non-Muslim children because they might have parents that are Muslim, and they want to learn more about al-Islam.
Yes, ma'am, and may I add to that, because you mentioned about the main three languages that we teach our children is Arabic, French, and Spanish. Yes, I want you to just to make a distinction that we have people who have studied French, like your daughter Kathy teaches the French, you know, and so she's fluent in French. And Imam Muhammad had told us Spanish and Arab French. I'm sorry, because he said that's where many Muslims are, or where the teaching should go. So we should be teaching. We all should not just our youth. But we all should be trying to learn. Of course, Arabic, but also French and Spanish. And we have people from the Rodriguez family and others who are fluent also in Spanish. So we're not going by some online program. Allah bless us to have people who are members of our community who actually speak those languages. And that's part of our, in Indianapolis, I'm saying, that's part of our curriculum. But then also you mentioned Sister Pearl students, and I just wanted to clarify that, not clarify, because you've been playing, just wanted to elucidate to explain further on that. Now, Butler University is a local college in Indianapolis, and they have programs for community outreach. And for the last, what, 15 years, maybe 20 years, that they send we are on their list of volunteers, and there's always 3 to 5 brother students that sign up to come and help us teach our students at the weekend school. And it's been a very productive initiative right there. So, I know, brother, I mean, that wasn't what you asked for. You asked for the hours. But
we
said all that because 3 hours is really full. You know, we probably need more than 3 hours, but we don't push it. Because we try to bring the essentials needed. You have a follow-up comment, please?
Right. I just had just a question. Okay, so it's not Saturday then. It's just Sunday.
Yes, just Sunday.
You're right. In the past, we have served this for a long time. Like in the 80s and 90s. But along the way, due to people's schedules, we found that Sunday was better because for some people, Saturday was that day to go shopping, go to the laundromat, or time with their family. So Sundays became more, for us in Indianapolis, each city is different, but for us, it was better on Sundays.
I see. The only other thing that I just had a thought about is Mandarin Chinese is huge in the world. So I think we'll look at that also. Arabic,
yes,
Spanish, and then Mandarin. Okay, great,
yes,
great. So far, so good. I'll be listening. I may have some more questions. So I'm gonna take myself off the queue.
Sir, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yes, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you, my brother. Yeah, I would just tell him thank you because we have taught Mandarin here with Butler from Butler University.
Sure
have taught our
sure
children.
I think that's important. So, Brother Amin, you can press 1 on your phone. And you want to come back, you can press 1 and come back on again. But I think he did press 1 on his phone. Good. Okay. We go to another caller here. And it may be one of our – oh, it is. This is one of our principals of the business. This is Zakiya from New Haven, Connecticut. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Zakiya.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother. Alhamdulillah. I'm sorry I'm getting on late.
You're not late. Let me make a fast comment. People used to say it. I don't hear it no more. They say, ain't nothing going on in the Imam community. We got so much going on, it will shock you. A lot of good things going on. So, sister, you right on time.
Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah, wa ta'ala me.
Tell us a little bit, and I should ask Sister Kill the same thing about yourself, and just a snippet. We don't need a long, but just so people know who you are, how long you've been Muslim, and all that, and what city you're in, please.
Yes, sir. The name is Zakiya.
Are you there? Did she go out? Sister Zakiya,
yep,
you on mute?
You.
You're back now.
Oh, I'm back. Okay, alhamdulillah. It's going to mess up back and forth because I'm in the masjid and trying to be quiet. Okay, so I'm going to be, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, can you hear me now? Okay,
can you hear me here?
So Zakiya Hassan, born and raised in New Haven, Connecticut. Been a Muslim for over 50, I won't say how many years. Been dealing with the Clara Muhammad School for, I'm going to say this again, believe it when I say it, 45 years with the Clara Muhammad School back in late 70s, something like that. Yes, when we first started with Imam Warthy Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, when we would go to Sedalia, North Carolina, putting all the things that we needed for the Clara Muhammad School together, praise be to Allah. So we have our school, our weekend school here, and we every now and then we have the ability to do an after-school program where we can get the children, they don't have to be Muslims, but just get the children, they come in here and we help them with the homework assignments and things of that nature, and we have the opportunity to talk to them and find out exactly what's going on in the school and correct information that is given to them, the wrong information that is given to them from the school system, and especially with today and how they are trying to erase the history of the African-American slave life. They just want to erase that like it never happened. So inshallah, that's something that we're trying to make sure we put together. Allah has blessed us to work with Imam Kareem Muhammad in New Jersey. We would go there. I think we'd have a meeting down there once a month. And at the weekend school, we awesome. Alhamdulillah, he just blessed us. Whether you have one student or 10, 12, 15 students, you strive to make sure that you keep the Qara Muhammad school doors open so that if one child comes in, then you're there to give yourself and the information on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and help them to direct their life towards the Sirat al-Mustaqim, staying on that path of righteousness, inshallah.
Yes, ma'am.
That's their path. That's right. We do the Arabic. In teaching the Arabic, I like to say to everyone that when you're teaching, remember they have a name, and their name, we want them to find the letters like we would do when we're teaching our babies. Your name is Mary, M-A-R-Y. So here's the M, here's the A. So we start with that so you can see that the Arabic alphabets represent. So represent your name. This is your name. And then we do Bismillah. That's the next one. So that they know that, oh, when I put these letters together, now when I'm sounding it out, when I'm doing this, it does make a word. I know Bismillah with Allah's name, and we move it like that. Once we do it with that, it's putting out of order, but that's okay because it's also giving them vocabulary words. So
great.
We do that. Alhamdulillah. And then with the go ahead, sir.
No, you go ahead, please.
Okay, so then with the Quran, of course, everything is always tied in. We do nothing without Allah, nothing without Allah. And so regardless to what, I don't care if we're doing math on the board, we're doing nothing without Allah. Why? Because Allah connects everything with math in the Quran. You can find when he talks, oh my gosh, see, I'm talking fast because I'm supposed to be in the treasure department. Allah connects math with numbers. Oh my gosh. Now, forgive me. With numbers, when he is speaking on how many birds that did he send? He told,
Abraham.
I can't do it right now. Yes, sir.
Abraham.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
Take your time.
Inshallah. Let me just bring it down a little bit. Yes. So, and he says, when you release the bird, you call him back. And the bird was an example of you use that numbers anyways, and you can teach math. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ascension of the soul, the framework, and he said Abraham, and I should find it right here, Abraham, ethical man, establishing leadership as service, cultivating Quranic logic and ethics, and to inform the spirit and rationality with faith and ideas through personal and social responsibility. So wherever we look in the Quran and we can see where Allah is talking about numbers or whatever, then we show them those numbers as math so they can do that. You're 7 years old. If I take away three, how many does that make? The four. But we always want to connect it with Allah so they don't feel like man just made this up. No, this information is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything that we do. We want to make sure, too, that our lessons when we're using our lessons, we want to talk to them. What do you feel when we say such and such? What would you feel if we said to you, let me give you one example here, the ascension. Cultivating knowledge, information, concepts, principles, logic, and this is for a certain age, okay? And believe it or not, if you have a young child in the room sitting at the table with an 8-year-old or 9-year-old, and this child is 4 mm-hmm. or 5 talking, do you know that that child will pick up the same and have the ability to get you the same answer? Why do I say that? We look at children as age, and we think that, oh, you can't teach them anything that yet. They're just small. They're going to do this. No, they are not. If you see those babies out there in the street dancing to these ugly music and doing all these kind of things, trust and believe, they can learn. Don't look at a child by their age. Look at the fact that you're working with a brain that Allah is putting in everybody's mind, and if it's given, and if it's given, and if it's given, they will understand it, they will accept it, and they will grow on it. Yes, right. So when we do it, we don't look at age with our children at school. It's we do, however, look at their ability to, when I ask you a question, are you going to give it back to me? How old are you? My mother said, all right, this child needs a little more of something because maybe it needs to understand what the question I'm asking, your age, number. Are you 2, 3, 4? You know, so we do look at them and try to see where they're at mentally, but we don't erase them from the table and just talk to the older children.
Thank you.
So, Alan, this is just so much, Brother Imam, and I'm so sorry that I'm just giving it to you correctly.
No, you're getting it right. I had a caller from 301. I don't know where they went to. Okay. I'll continue calling from 301. They can come back up. I'll bring it back on. Sister Carol,
yes,
I'm sorry. I did. Sister Carol, I don't know. She's from Indianapolis.
I'm doing that.
Sister Carol, give us just a little thumbnail of you, a Muslim. How long have you been Muslim? How long have you been at the Wiccan school?
Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, how long you been Muslim and how long have you been working with Kalam Muhammad Bukin School?
I've been Muslim since April of 1981, and I have been with Clara Muhammad Wiccan School since 46th Street. And I think it's been over 10 years now, maybe longer.
This is longer than 10 years, I think.
Yes, because Zari wasn't born. So Maurice is 18, so about 18 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds more like it.
Before he was even born. So yeah, it got to be over 20-something years.
Yes, ma'am. But we will call here from 804. Call from 804. Thank you for calling voice name. People, can you give us your first name and your question and comment, please?
Assalamu alaikum, community. My first name is James Spence, and I'm calling on behalf of the Masjid Muhammad in Washington, D.C., Clara Muhammad Youth Weekend School community. And I was charged by Sister Katara.
Yes, sir.
Conversation. We are currently in action in our weekend school. So I've stepped out. I am James Smith. I'm a board member on the Masjid's board as the education director. And so I'm sitting in her stead. And we just want to give thanks to Allah for this entire community and what you all are doing throughout the nation. To answer the question, I think that was established before, is I've been Muslim since 1998. And I've been working with the Youth Weekend School for about probably 5 to 6 years.
Alhamdulillah. So you're the education director. So what does that mean? Maybe we need one here in Indianapolis. So what is the function in relation to weekend schools in particular with your role as the education director?
Certainly. And so one of my primary focuses is to make sure that I am a direct liaison from the Youth Weekend School to the Masjids Board and other several community and boards within our community to request for resources, to make sure we have committee alignments with other committees that's in our community, and just kind of serve as a liaison from board and email to the Youth Weekend School under the direction currently of Sister Katara. I have another kind of indirect priority, which is to help navigate the transition from a Youth Weekend School with the addition also of a full-time school, which is in our vision.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, because we were saying before, one of the important roles of having a weekend school, you know, over the years, a lot of full-time schools have closed due to various reasons. And so having a weekend presence becomes even more important just due to that fact that we have to have that special time for connecting with our weekend schools. And we have created a Facebook page as well for those who are on Facebook. And it's called Connecting Clara Muhammad Weekend Schools. That's the name of the Facebook group, Connecting Clara Muhammad Weekend Schools. And so in doing that, we are able to for two things. First of all, for us to do what we're doing today is for our various weekend schools to get to know each other. But then the bigger picture, hopefully, sometime this school year, would be to have like a national Zoom, so to speak, with our youth so that our Muslim youth can see that they are not the only ones going to a weekend school. There are very many cities that it is also going on. And for us, that's very important for us as teachers or directors to know that it is more than just our locale doing it, but more importantly, for our youth to know that this is going on around the country. We had a couple of Zoom meetings, but we wanted the Zoom meetings to grow. I'd like to ask, and we have three on now who are representing schools. Just for the record, Sister Claire Ellender from Indianapolis, Indiana, Sister Zakiya Hassan from New Haven, Connecticut, and Brother James on behalf of Sister Katara from Washington, D.C. So I want to ask a question, and we encourage our listeners to press 1 on your phone if you have a question or comment as well. But the question I want to ask now, that some people will call and they ask us, how do you get a Clara Muhammad Weekend School started? Sister Lakia, you'd like to answer that first, please?
Yes, sir. Inshallah. So we get together within our masjids, of course, and we take shura on everything, but whatever we're going to do, we discuss it, and we all agree upon it. We have our sisters, the families that are in the masjid with their children. So talking about the importance of the school, having a school, and the need of having a school. They agree, we have always did this, always had a lesson plan together, so that we can share what we were teaching the children at the Clara Muhammad School. And so we really try to motivate their spirit to, yes, let's do this. So that's how we first got started. Let's get this going. And we registered our children. I registered my 6 children in. And then as we moved on, we put it out there into the community. We let them know that this is what we have. If, especially during this time, your children don't have to go outside playing and you don't work, and they, you know, you can put them here. We'd be happy to take care of them here while you do what you have to do. We have time for it. So Sundays, of course, we have it. We did Saturday shows, movies, and then, of course, we would talk again about education. And then after school, then come on, we'll help them with their homework. And we did that in the very beginning, well, about 4 or 5 years. A lot blessed us to be able to do that. Things kind of slowed down, but that's how we started out. Once we put it out there into the community, then people signed their children on. Families came in, and that's how we started. And talking about it and making it so exciting that, hey, even the children wanted to come, especially when they heard that we'd have games. And, you know, it was exciting for them. So, yes, sir, that's how we started out.
Yes, sir. Sister Girl, if someone were to ask you for helping in getting a weekend school started in their city, what would be some points you would share with them?
Some of the points I would say starting with the weekend school is to survey your community. And we actually did put out like a survey, what would you like your children to be taught? What would you want them to learn? Just because we have a curriculum that's been with the school since start, but we have to update it because as the children ages come in from 5 to 18, we might be dealing with all middle school and no high schoolers. So then we understand from there how we have to change our curriculum for that year and adjust it to according to their ages, because all children learn in a different way. And that curriculum we might have might not be based upon the group that we're receiving this year. So that helped us a lot in Indianapolis to adjust it to what was going on in the community. A different program, new programs came up in Indianapolis. We, Sister Carolyn Sahir, always geared all our outside activities to learning. We go to Children's Museum if they have a new exhibit there and something's about Islam, we go see it. Or something educational, Black history, we go see it. So we have a little fun time, but we also make sure there's an access of education that the children can learn and in their religious life. So that helped our school to grow. The children want to come back. We have, if we speak, have French class that day, our French teacher will give them a halal meal that most French Muslims might be eating that day. And along with the Spanish class, the Spanish teachers will provide a meal that you might see in the Spanish Muslims community. So it helped the children build a bridge, you know, to other groups. And Islamically, you know, it's not just that. We, in Arabic culture, we eat the rice, Biryani rice and stuff, but we taught them more. We went back to our roots, learned what the bean pie and the fresh vegetables that was taught in the first generation, good to eat, which everybody's picking up on now. Organic, go back to the natural life of eating. So that helped us to incorporate that in our school lunch.
But I want to ask more specifically, if someone asked you, said, I'm in so-and-so city, I hear you have a weekend school, New Haven or Washington, D.C., Indianapolis. How did you get your weekend school started? And how can, you know, what would you tell them for getting weekend school started?
Yes, the main purpose is to, you know, ask, you know, the community, ask the parents, then get your teachers that want to volunteer to come along and help begin the weekend school. And that's how you get started. Then you set up where who can meet on what day. And then that will be your basis of your time. Maybe your time would not be in the morning. Maybe your time will be in the evening, or your time will be on Saturday or Sunday. But it's by surveying that to get started. And then also you pull from your other Clara Muhammad schools what things work, what things didn't work, and you can add them to your curriculum. And you know, what the children might be more excited about. They might be more excited about painting and doing artwork than they might be excited about sewing. or, you know, crocheting or whatever, or you got all boys, then you have to gear it to all, you know, activities for young men. And
yes,
so that's by, it's by surveying and seeing what works in your community.
Very good. Brother James, what would be your response to that request? Brother James?
Yes, sir. I apologize. I was I had to touch base and then to the youth weekend school real quick. So as I've been following the conversation, I believe the question was around formulation of youth weekend school. Am I correct in that?
Yes. You know, if someone came to you and say, I hear you have a weekend school in Washington, D.C., you know, how did you get started? Can you help me, give me information on how to get a weekend school started in my locale? What would you share with them?
Yeah, certainly the other two responses before me were spot on, and we're doing similar things. And I'll speak from the standpoint of maybe having not started it in this area, but coming into an already functioning system. One of the key things that my predecessor just spoke of was surveying, and that's something that we implemented this year and continuously going to implement is the power of the survey to just ensure that we're meeting the specific and differing needs of all of our students. And so I think it's great power in that. It's great power in that. So if I was starting one, from our aspect, it's continuing and retention and increasing. But if I was starting one, that would be the first. One of the first things that I would implement is a level of survey and town halling to determine what the specific need and vision is of the community. And then there's always power in, I would say, tapping into educators that are already in your community. I think one of the big part about our community is that we have people that are already in education, and we're leaning on each other for the to be the sure. And so you're bringing best practices from private, you're bringing best practices from public, you're bringing best practices from previous youth weekend schools and Claire Muhammad schools that's happened from decades ago. And so I think that would be one thing that I would also suggest for someone who's looking to implement. And then, you know, you always want to talk around budget. And so having a really detailed and intimate conversation with the imam and the board about the vision of the school and making sure that they are partners in with it also, or they can see some sort of resource partnership for you. And it, I think, is really important when starting out, but also in continuing. Those would be the three major points that I would also echo the people that said before me. Thank you.
Thank you, alhamdulillah. You know, and also, I am the director here. And one thing when I hear shared with people in other cities, they say, well, we just can't seem to get the support, you know, that we need for a weekend school, or there's not enough people. And I'm using the analogy of Little League baseball or football, whatever it may be. A lot of times she said, well, who's going to be the coach or who's going to be the support for the team? If the child is coming, most times the parent would be the one to be the teacher at the weekend school. And as long as their child is in attendance at the weekend school, then they are most likely to be the ones to be the main contributors for whatever it may be, fundraising, teaching, going to get materials for the weekend school. So tap into those families in your masjid that have children from the ages that you want to teach. Here we go, Sister Curtis, is from 5 to 18 for our weekend school? I think it is, yeah. So we identify those parents in Indianapolis who got children in that age group and talk to the parents. Say, because sometimes the parents are not as conscious, maybe, as we would like them to be. So we talked to them, said, hey, you got a weekend school, you know, you need to bring a little Abdullah, a little Aisha to a weekend school. And when they come, then those parents can be the ones to help teach the class as well. And then on funding for here, Sister Claire, you want to talk about that? About how do we pay for a weekend school?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yeah, you said how do we pay for it?
Yeah, I mean, yes, ma'am.
Okay, yes. I'm muting in and out of school activities. We have a list of, like, enrollment where it lists the family and the children that's attending our weekend school, and we just charge $10 per family. And that way it provides for the allowed lunch and save up enough for activity monthly. Mm-hmm. And this has worked, but other families have seen, oh, this is all. They donate more to the weekend school. And then believers in the community, they see our need and they donate also. But we try to keep it where families can afford it and want to give to the weekend school, and it didn't come a burden. But most of our staff is so generous about they're going their pockets and say, hey, we want to have this activity, and they donate towards us because they enjoy coming and helping us.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to ask Sister Zakiya, if someone came to you and wanted information on starting a weekend school, what would you share with them?
Yes, sir. So, alhamdulillah, the masjid itself helped to make sure everything was in place when it came financially. You know, this is what we're going to put into the school system, and this is your budget, and this is how we're going to do it. And so depending when it came down to the children registering and not the children, but the parents registering, even the adults were able to register themselves in it, because a lot of the parents, you're going to help your child with the, they'll sit in on the older class so that they can hear the Arabic and the different information that is being given. So when we started with the children and enough family was able to participate, then for the next year, what we did was we put out for next year, inshallah, we let it be known that we are going to have a, we call it tuition, and what it will be used for, so that the Clara Muhammad School now can have an account and stand on its own, and that meant be able to get all the supplies that we needed for the school. And so we did only like maybe $25 for the year, depending on how many children you had. If you have four children, you're not paying $200, so you're going to pay $25 for the first one, and then maybe $10 and $10 for the other. And so we definitely budgeted out so that it wasn't going to be hardship on anyone. Anyone that could not afford it, didn't have to. You can't afford it, don't worry about it, since the children are an interest. And the important thing is our children, not the money. The masjid can help with that, see. So that's how we did it. We just made it affordable. And what we couldn't do, then the masjid picked up, and we did have people to donate. We had one brother that he'd come in every Sunday, whatever the children wanted. So next week, oh, we want to have tuna sandwiches, Then he would make sure that that's what was coming. So he really took a lot of the pressure off when it came down to the lunch, because we would do from 9:30 to 12 and then get ready for Talim. So, yes, sir. So that's how we did it.
And I'm glad to hear that from both of you all. It doesn't cost a whole lot of money, and you don't want to discourage anyone because of cost. And the believers, when they see the weekend school going, they really love it. And they don't have a child nowhere in the age group, but they want to support Islamic education.
Yes, sir.
So, James, let me ask you, Brother James, have you been asked by other cities for guidance on starting the weekend school? Or full-time school, I guess.
Yeah, we have not. I mean, we've been in conversations, of course, through the Shura, the National Shura Consortium. I'm just sharing ideas. But I haven't specifically talked to a person about starting a youth weekend school and now starting the conversations about a normal day school. And we're in the infancy stages of that. And so one of the things I would say, just to kind of piggyback on what was said before, we're doing very similar things around budgeting and finances and tuition. One of the things that really enjoy that we do here is that weekend school.
Your voice is a little bit soft. I'm sorry, but you have a hard time hearing you.
I'm sorry, I'm in the library. I'm not trying. I wasn't screaming. One of the things we do that along with Zakat, we can offer to give money towards Youth Week in School. And that can be done digitally through several online banking options. So that's a way to get the community to kind of give and give consistently.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much. Now, one thing we always notice is that weekend schools they're important. It's not our goal. Our goal is to have full-time schools, but sometimes weekend schools are the reality. We do have with us a brother who works very much with full-time schools team or committee, Dr. Hamid Al-Amin. I'm going to bring Dr. Hamid Al-Amin on and share any thoughts he may want to. Dr. Hamid Al-Amin, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you, brother Imam?
Now, you know I say I'm good doing. Ahead. I just ain't done. I'm doing. I'm not done. Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So before you just speak, just give us a little small thumbnail: who you are, where you're from, what you do with education.
I currently live in Huntsville, Alabama. I'm retired. I'm a retired college teacher. I have worked with education since about 2003 with the MasCares education team, which is the first iteration of the work. We have been working with, in fact, several of the people whose voices I recognize on the air. This is Akir, Brother James. I'm not sure who else is on here. For all of those years, our work is really focused on something that Imam Muhammad asked us to do, and that is to honor his desire for an institution. He didn't give us specifics, but that's what he asked for. That was just about a month or two before he passed. And so that is what our effort has been. But our effort has to depend on helping the local efforts that I hear on this call. And that is very uplifting and very exciting. I've said to people that it's almost as if we have to start over in some way. We have an opportunity to start over. Mm-hmm. At one time, I think most of us who were in the community going back to the 1970s remember that there were almost 50 schools in our association. Full-time schools. They were full-time schools. And I know that, for instance, like Birmingham had like almost 200 plus students in their school in terms of their enrollment. We have really had to, if we think about it, transform almost everything that we do when we transformed from the old Nation of Islam to the way that we are functioning as an organization now. As a community, should say that, because there is a difference between an organization and a community. In fact, that is one of the things that we really need to consider. Our work has been on the big picture, but we really, as what we call our consortium or work group now, which consists of several of us, including the voices that I hear on the air, Brother James, Sister Zakia. I'm not sure who else is on. On looking at that bigger picture of how we work together, how we actually structure an institution, and that implies that everything has to change, because Imam Muhammad told us back in Sedalia, North Carolina, 1982, I believe, to throw out all the books. So what are we to do? We're to replace all of what is in those books. There are 21 mm-hmm. million books in the Library of Congress. He challenged us, really in some sense, to address everything that has been put in all of those books, beginning with a different source, and that is Al-Quran. He said, extract from it what we need. Then mm-hmm. use our thinking. And then once we have our thinking, we go back to the Quran and we confirm what it says. And anything that doesn't fit, then we throw it out. That is right. a different approach to knowledge. That's a very plain, the plainest way I can say it, but it's a tremendous thing that can't be accomplished just in one generation. As we know, Imam Muhammad told us that this work, if it's going to be done, will be done by the generations after us. But we have to have an effort now to establish what those in the future are going to have, and that's what I see happening. I hear these dedicated voices on here, and we are very grateful, Brother Imam, for you organizing this conversation, because that's the way it has to work. There have to be enough of us across this country to actually make it work on a local level. And some of us believe that the organization should be just the way they are now, that they should be local. We should have some kind of an institution that functions to preserve our way of life and to promote our progress on in every city and town, just like we used to. Depends mm-hmm. on us getting the motivation that I hear just now on this call among a few people now. And I know there are others because we do hear from other voices. And everything that I've heard, I apologize for being late, is exactly the way that we will have to progress, by coming together and sharing. And I got that from one of our very notable and hardworking imams, yourself, some years ago. You said to me in a conversation, just passing, that we have to learn to come together and work together without trying to be each other's bosses. And we live in a world mm-hmm. that's based on just the opposite of somebody being the boss. It's a big yes, conversation sir. Itself. So it's not just that we need to organize in a different way and have a different body of knowledge. We also have to have a different idea of leadership.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Dr. Hamid Al-Amin. I want you to stay in the conversation. We do want to encourage others who are listening, if they have any thoughts or comments or questions on Weekend School. This is mainly centered around Weekend School. But if you have a question about full-time school, that's good, too. We have some leading thinkers, Brother James from Washington, D.C., Dr. Hamid Al-Amin from Huntsville, Alabama, who are working on a bigger scope than Weekend School. So this is the time and place to ask those questions, please. And we will bring you on into our conversation. So I have a caller here from 856. Caller from 856. Thank you for calling Words from a People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please?
My name is Volpana Ali, and I come from New Jersey.
Yes,
Master Freehaven. I wanted to tell you that in 1979, I was in New York in Brooklyn at Muxi Khalifa, they call Muxi Khalifa now, and we had a weekend school. We didn't know it hadn't been established to be Sister Clara Muhammad School yet, but so all the things that we did, because there's a brother there saying, how do you start the school and what do you do and what have you? So I wrote a book called Faith and Leadership, an Islamic Rite of Passage, and it was for the children. I'm to tell you that the book the introduction. It was an open letter to the parent, what we were going to do. Then we taught the children prayer, taught them about Ramadan, Hadith and Sunnah, leadership. And we had a booklet in the back of the book, test booklet, to see if they could know the things that we were teaching. Now, every other Sunday, we would take them on trips. We would take them to the Botanic Garden so they could see what Allah did with blooming the flowers and what have you. Other times, mm-hmm. we would take them to, and what was so good about it, one of the sisters was able to get the New York City Transit Authority to give us free passes to go on the trains. We didn't ask the same parent all the time to help us to, you know, guide the children when we went on the trips, but, you know, and they were always cordial, and they took turns, and, you know, they did that. We had a graduation, you understand, and the our sister made the garments and what have you, and we bought a great big robe of white material, and the sister was able to and the parents contributed to that. In those days, 1979, I think it was $10 or whatever, I don't know. But anyway, because we did Ramadan, they were so happy. And the next morning, they made the sahur for the whole congregation, because it's a very big masjid. So down on the Musalla, you know, you had the older believers. And then we had in a community room and what have you.
Yes,
so that's what I got to share. But if anybody wants the book.
Yeah, please tell us how to get the book, please.
Maybe my number. You think if I give you my phone number and then they can call and I can tell them?
Well, that's up to you. Well, that's up to you. If you feel comfortable, I do, because you know this is the internet.
Okay.
And
area code 856-718-7604.
Okay, can you repeat that number again, please?
Area code 85718-7604.
Okay, how much is the book?
$12.
And how much is
shipping? That's with the mailing and everything.
Oh, that's total. That's $12 for the book and for shipping?
The shipping is included, yeah.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. I have to
we don't have a whole lot of money. Our community don't have a whole lot of money. So, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm following the Imam Muhammad. I gave a whole, in this book, I'm telling all about the things that we did.
Okay.
An open letter to the parents first. And let me tell you, at the end, the parents gave me a bouquet of flowers. They were so happy that I took the initiative to gather the children. One became a millionaire. I'm serious. One flies for Teota back and forth from Europe to America. My son, he was in there, and he is a cardiac catheterization coordinator. So they all did good. They all believed in the law. They don't know anything else.
I mean, thank you very much. I need to get to my next caller if I can. But you shared some beautiful information, book, a reference for a book, and you made a very good point that we need to maybe ask each person to respond to, because we also, from our weekend school here, I'm sure same in other cities, our Muslim youth have gained valuable pearls from being in the weekend school or the full-time school and been able to take those pearls, those seeds, the richness they got from the Muslim school to help to make them successful in the overall society. Thank you, Sister Sabrina. I'm going to go to our next call. Assalamu
alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Can we get the sister's name? I got the number. Can we get a name?
I'm sorry.
Sultana Ali. That's Sultana. Last name Ali. Ali.
Shukran. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. All right, Sister Sultana. Thank you very much. I want to go to our next caller here. This call is from 323. There you are. Call from 323. We thank you for calling Words Make People. Can you give us your first name, city, and your question or comment?
Yes, assalamu alaikum. My name is Sister Iftihaj Abdul-Mujib, and I was located in California with my husband, Imam Ayman Abdul-Mujib, but I relocated a year and a half ago due to extenuated circumstances. But what I wanted to say is that I totally agree with the comments that Dr. Muhammad El Amin stated, you know, because I found that that is so many things that has occurred and some of the reasons why our schools have not flourished. Because with my husband, Imam Ayman, and I, we had a school from a full-time school from 1987 up until the 2000s. And I found that some of the reasons why our Muslim parents pulled away from our schools is because of the things that was offered free in the public school that, you know, the timing a lot of times that wasn't, we weren't able to give. So I know we need to start over and we need to regroup. Because we're losing our children, and we see it. And, you know, it's important that we take one, I call it module, or one at a time, and we have to regroup again.
Yes, ma'am.
And what we did with our school, we followed Imam Muhammad's instructions. You know, we redid our curriculum. And my daughter is now working with me. She teaches in public schools. She talk about the money. See, the families, what we have to try to do, and it's difficult, is we have to deal with the how can a teacher teach and then still have a house or some food, you know, because that's how our teachers were pulled. They had to support themselves, you know. Those are the things, and we need to be, we've always been dedicated. I taught school with not Clara Muhammad, but it was the University of Islam. So I understand. But I also had a part-time job. So, you know, I taught during the day and I worked evenings, but everyone can do that. But I had 9 children and I knew the public school wasn't the answer for them. So whatever I can do, I'm totally supportive, and whoever I need to connect with, alhamdulillah, because I evolved from brick and mortar to, I started teaching in the park. You know, our school we had a brick and mortar, but most of my teaching we did in the environment. That's when you really teach nature. That's when you really can show students what Allah has given us. And very seldom would we just be in the school. We would be at museums, different things like that. So I just want to make that comment.
Thank you very much, Sister Iftihaj. Excellent comments. Do any of our panelists have any comments on what our sister just shared? I think we lost it to go ahead. Oh, there she is at the bottom. Sister Carol, let you back on now.
Yes. I just had a comment. That was beautiful information to share. The sister had reminded me that many times we need to look at our state budgets to see how we can run our full-time schools. If they say from 7, I'm just giving an instant, from 7 to 3, you need to teach the basic learning thing like reading, writing, and things like that. But soon after 3:30, you can probably go into teach your Islamic studies. I know the Jewish community, when they came here at New Orleans years ago, they told me that was one of the ways they got around it. They got, you know, federal funding for their schools. They said from 4 to 9, they would teach the Hebrew and different classes. And my son-in-law, he's Jewish, and he told me that's how they ran their schools. You know, evening they taught the religious part. In the daytime, they taught the basic, you know, tools of learning. So we probably need to look at that through our state curriculums. You know, how can we get funded and start our Islamic schools?
Dr. Hamid Al-Amin and Brother James, any reflections on that? How can we use resources that we're paying taxes, right? So how can we tap into other resources to support our weekend schools and, I guess, full-time schools as well? Any comments, please? Imam Al-Amin?
Imam Muhammad, when he asked for an institution, did tell us to do exactly what we are doing now, what's happening on this call. That is to do the work. And he said, our brothers from overseas, I'm paraphrasing what he said, that they will eventually help us. And he gave us an idea of how much help we would need financially. So these are bootstrap efforts. And I think what we don't sometimes understand is that what we have is the future for education, I would say, in the world. And I think that's what Imam Muhammad saw, that we're just learning to really appreciate, because we have the insights into the Quranic language that really, I don't know where it exists besides within our community, but it's a different way of looking at and structuring knowledge itself. And so these small things that we are doing now, that you all are doing, they, from what I got understood from him, giving us that instruction, that they will lead to much bigger support from within this country and also from outside of this country. We just have to be faithful to what we were taught from the very beginning, when those of you that I know came to this religion when I did 50 years ago. We just have to be faithful to that and know that Allah's hand is on this work. And I do believe that, and that help will come. Now, we have sustained an effort of going to some of the philanthropists from some of the major countries in the world that might give us that support, and that hasn't come about yet. But when Imam Muhammad says something, I always take it seriously, and I really don't trust sometimes what even I think without knowing that he said something to support what I'm thinking. So that is our hope, and I do believe that. And I think most of you on here do believe that somewhere. And so we just need to do these things that seem so small now, but they will measure, they will come out to be much, much, much more in the future than what we might expect. So just
yes,
keep the faith.
You keep the faith. Brother James, do you have any comments on tapping into other resources outside of the Muslim community for our schools?
Assalamu alaikum.
What's up? Who's speaking? Oh, Sister Zakiya?
This is Zakiya. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, please. You have a comment? Are you there? I think your phone went out again.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I can now, yes. And we can hear you now. We cannot hear you now.
Keep it all in place. Alhamdulillah.
No.
Oh, you can't hear me. Okay, so
it's I'm sorry, but you're going in, you're going out.
Okay, I'm going to go in the other room again. Yes, sir. Here I go.
Okay.
Here I go.
Yes,
okay, so with, again, having Dr. Hamid on the line. Dr. Hamid is awesome. He keeps everything in place with us when we meet with him, alhamdulillah. But we want to also, I want to add to it too, when it comes down to our Imam Warsi Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him and his commentaries and when we're teaching our children and anyone that's coming into the school that's going to be teaching our children, we want to make sure that they are speaking our language and understanding our position when it comes to Imam Warsi Din Muhammad. We don't see him as a prophet. We don't see him as, you all worship him like someone it was said before. No. He even said to us that he is not our leader. He's our teacher. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was our prophet. That was our leader. That was the one that was showing us. And all he did was emulate it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his guidance and put it in the way that we were able to understand for those who might have had questions. There was one other thing too. I'm so sorry. I've been just breaking up with a lot of stuff. But yeah, so that's the main thing too. Making sure that Imam Warsi Muhammad's information is also impacted in what we are teaching the children. Because Quran and the Prophet, those two first, and then we want to build on because of this religion and how it came to us as slaves. And how the first time the Adhan was called, it was called here in the United States by us. It was never called. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, I can see I was working as a director at a college for the children. And one woman, a sister came in. She was, you know, from the East. And she comes, she says, "Are you a Muslim?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "Oh, where are you from?" I said, "Here." She says, "Oh, and you wear the hijab?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "I'm going to start wearing mine too." And I'm like, alhamdulillah, very good. So when she would come in, she would be so happy. They would be here, but they did their thing, and they did it with them quietly. But when the Adhan was called in the beginning, alhamdulillah, who was it? Bilal, the servant. May Allah also reward him. The servant, he was He was a slave. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did what? Lit him up and did with him. And he called the Adhan. And we did the same thing. The slaves from back then calling the Adhan in the United States. Peace of Billah. That was because of how he took that Quran, Prophet Imam Warsi Muhammad, and spinned it around, said, "Now, call the Adhan." It was 75, somewhere in that era. But alhamdulillah, so I just want to say that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I got about four callers here. We're on the top of the hour. I do have extra time for those who can stay. I don't want to belabor anybody this afternoon. But I'll go to our next caller here from 562 area code. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name, your city, and your question or comment, please?
Brother Muhammad from Long Beach, California. I just have a question. I was thinking on a national level, what should be our number one priority as a group that we all can focus on and try to do it as a group instead of individuals? Cities or something, you know, like, and do it one step at a time. Our priorities, line them up.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for your question. That's not quite on topic, but I guess it is on topic. And I answer that one, and we move on. Imam Muhammad told us to establish model communities, and we should be trying. establish communities that speak to what we are talking about. So it becomes, this is me speaking now, so it becomes more than just a conversation, but it becomes a demonstration. And so we can have a Islamic life, a model Islamic life in all of our locales. It may be in size proportional to your community, but establish a clear Islamic community life in your locale that will testify, be a living testimony to what we're reading in the Quran and what we're saying about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a reality in our very lives. And that would be my response to that, Brother Muhammad. Okay. Go to our next caller. Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay.
Imam, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, another thing, how do we achieve our goals? Need a national treasure or something to prioritize our goals on a national level? Just a national treasure?
No, sir.
Talk about
one
at a time?
No, sir. No. We are autonomous, and we should have local treasure. You know, if we have people who are like minds in the country who want to come together on an initiative, an economic initiative, or even an educational initiative, they should even then be autonomous of being over one national body of anything. Imam Muhammad, he clearly, specifically took us away from that for a number of reasons. And so we want to have support. That's why we have conventions. They got a leadership workshop coming up in Orlando in a couple of weeks. You got the Muslim Journal, Time to Be Grateful, and other conventions and groups. Go to those groups. Find people who are like minds, who like interests. But we should not be trying to form any kind of nation or group to whatever a national body. There's too many difficulties to come with that. So Imam Muhammad wants each locale to be respected as being autonomous. But we're going to move on because our topic is on education.
Thank you, buddy, man.
Thank you. No, thank you, Brother James. Alhamdulillah. Let's go to our next caller. I lost a couple of callers. Where we go, this caller here is from 310. Caller from 310. Thanks for calling Voice Main People. Can you give us your first name and your city and your question in the comments, please?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sami from Los Angeles.
Yes, it was me.
Yes, sir, Brother Imam. First of all, congratulations on your 11th year anniversary, and may Allah continue to bless you and many, many more.
Amen. Thank you.
The subject matter that you're carrying on today is very, very needed. And it was an earlier program, too, Sister Citra on studying out Islam. She had a similar program on. And I don't know if it was just by coincidence that you two had your program on the Clara Muhammad school system, but nonetheless, Allahu A'lam. I just wanted to say that there's I think the brother might have been referencing a coordinated effort in a national on the national level to support the school system, which it's a good idea, but we have one that I think is related to that, and that's that the one that's named 150, I believe, and those would be a $50 donation, 100 people donating $50 a month, and those funds would go to the Clara Muhammad school system. And this is something that is worthy of support, because that way we know that those Clara Muhammad schools that those funds are going to have already been vetted. And because there may be people who are using Clara Muhammad school name.
Yes, sir.
For whatever reason, you know. But
if I may comment on that, that is a wonderful project done by Imam Adam Dia from Fayetteville, North Carolina. You got some feedback, Brother Sammy.
I'm sorry. Let me
headphones off.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, a whole lot better.
Okay, go ahead, Brother. I'm ahead of you.
Yeah. Imam Adam Dia from Fayetteville, North Carolina. And it is a national appeal, but it's not a national organization. And it's been quite successful. I think I had him on my program a few months ago, and I think they have distributed, that's not even the word, they have influenced a collection of $300,000 over the last 6-7 years. That, and keep in mind, the way this works, Imam Adam Dia does not touch one single dollar that's collected.
Yes,
he encourages people. Yeah, he's identified 6, maybe 7 full-time Clara Muhammad schools, and he has been allowed his blessing to be very successful in saying the school for this month is the school in Nashville. I think it is Nashville, Tennessee school. Maybe Miami, maybe I think one in Bermuda, one in Milwaukee, and there's a few others.
Right.
And everyone will say, okay, this month I'm sending my $50 from that person who's saying this right to the school. It don't go through email. It don't be no more than they give him a record of how much was collected. And so that's what we need to do. And national concerns, weekend school, a full-time school, or big buying washing machines at a wholesale price. It was the old AMCOP idea.
Right.
It should be done by those who want to say, yes, let's do this. But it's not under any imams or any particular ruling national body. It's only by those who come together based on the concept of Shur Benahum, right? And to where we have voices, resources come together. It could be a business initiative or whatever. That's how it should be done. I think the language could trip us up, and I don't think that Brother Muhammad called before you saying they have a national group or anybody. I'm glad that you clarified for me that to have, there can be initiatives that can go international, you know, for our schools or whatever. But we should not be trying to form any organization. Because Imam Muhammad, he said that's not good. And Imam Habib Alameen, you have any comments on that particular point?
Absolutely. I think we're still trying to understand that that Imam Muhammad was really trying to protect our interests and also to promote what our religion promotes, and that is individual responsibility. That's where authority and responsibility start. They start with the individual. And what we have in the society we live in is we have centralized authority. And there's a big issue there that we don't have all the language to describe how our organization should work, but it should work in a different fashion than we see now, where it empowers one person as authority over everybody else. And that's different than every person having their own being responsible for their own efforts as individuals and then contributing to and supporting the larger effort. And I think the only way I can think of it is supporting the vision. So all of us can do that. We don't need one person deciding every issue for us. That I don't see that as the intention of this religion. In fact, Imam Muhammad said, there is no record of the Prophet of Allah going around telling people what to do. That the believers that followed him, the Sahaba that followed him, that were his followers, they went about doing the things that they were supposed to do because they were dedicated to this religion. That is the kind of leadership model that I think is evolving that we're still trying to understand. And we live in a society that does just the opposite, where people who are supposed to be servants really become masters.
Yes, sir.
Yes, and that's not what we, that's not our religion.
Yes, right.
And we kind of haven't sorted that out.
Well, we're getting there, inshallah.
Yes, we're getting there.
But the amount of time, you have another follow-up or another question?
No, sir. The two of you explained that very well, and it's very clarified now in my mind, you know. So, you know, may Allah continue to bless us and double our effort, you know, in supporting our school system, because really the work is being done, you know, by you all that's on the line, that's half the system, Clara Muhammad school system, established already, whether it's weekend or full-time or whatever. But we just need money, you know. I think that, you know, that's what we need, you know. So, inshallah, personally, I'll double my effort to support that in whatever way I can, inshallah. Thank you, Brother
Mass. No, thank you, Brother Mass. Send me from Los Angeles, California. But I want to reiterate or remind us what Imam Ma told us on more than one occasion. And he told us we should not focus as much on building masjids as building schools. He said we could build schools. We could have Juma inside the gymnasium or the classroom. But he was emphasizing mainly schools over masjids. Just a little reminder. Going to our next caller here. Our next caller here from, I know this number here. This is my wife's number. 317. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. I have enjoying the program. And it's very, very important for us to continue on the weekend schools if we don't have a full-time school. So more parents realize that it is important to have a weekend school for our students. Better off will be. And they see other children doing the same thing as they are on the weekend school. So the program has been very productive and enjoyable and very educational.
Well, I love myself. Thank you very much. That's my wife, Sister Curl. I appreciate you and your comments. I think Sister Sultana got so much she want to share with us. Sister Sultana, Ali.
Yes, sir.
Talk to us.
Yes. Okay. I think it's very important. Imam Muhammad was 7 years to make us understand, because if you get a definition of a name, you also have direction in life. Okay? And he said that we had Bilawi News, people started naming their businesses Bilawi and whatever. And it's important. We have our own culture. The fact that we got off the slave ship, we made culture right here. You understand? And right here in America, we made our own culture. So now, if we have a culture here, we are who we are. We dress like we do here. You know, you don't need to look like somebody else from another country. It's okay. Allah is over there. He's here all over. Okay? So I think it's important to give it out the structure of our schools. The children need an identity. You know, if we're Bilalians, we're Bilalians. Hey, we call people a crip.
Thank you very much, my sister Sultana. But James, I think he's still with us. My sister Zakiya, and also Imam Hamid Al-Amin, speak to that importance of our schools, speaking of schools and giving our children a true identity. I say true. I'm going to say unique to give them their true identity. Sister Zaki, you have any comments on
yes.
how schools can function in that role?
Yes, sir. When it is said about our identity, we are told that Allah did not come to us for our dress. He came for our hearts and what he wanted from us, respecting and worshiping him, nobody else. So he didn't come for our dress, number one. Number two, we are here in America. We represent American Muslims. And so we were always taught that what does Allah ask us to cover? And what does he want us to cover? Now, we can go to the stores when they were selling the long skirts and all this kind of business. Everybody dressed it according to what they were, what was out there. So we're wearing minis, we're wearing minis. If we're wearing the long skirts, they had a name for it too. But in any case, what I'm saying is this. We, as American people, can dress with American clothes, making our own clothes, and still represent. So when a child sees, another child comes up and sees that, oh, you're one of us. They recognize, they can identify with us. We don't have to dress like they do
somewhere else. Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much, yes. All right, I'm not sure if Brother James, is he still with us or not? I'm trying to see. Brother James, if she's still with us, you have any comments on the importance of our schools shaping up the identities of our children? Okay, they have left them. I'm going to ask my wife, Carolyn, because Carolyn, you've been with the school for about 40 years now. Carolyn, are you with us? Okay, yes, she's talking. Brother Hamid Alami, yes, our Muslim schools as a whole, full-time or weekend. How important is this in shaping our youth identity?
I'll repeat something that I heard actually secondhand from our sister Katara and from one of Imam Yusuf Saleem's khutbah, that if we don't have education, we won't have a community. And I think along with that, that implies that if we don't have education, we won't have our own identity. We're still sorting that out. We're not sure enough of ourselves yet, though we started out addressing, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad started out addressing this problem of identity. What is your own self? Because we were so, all of our culture was taken away from us, and we're just getting it back, establishing it. And the language is still difficult for us. When you say words make people, it implies all of that. We don't have our own words. That's why Imam Muhammad told us, throw out all of their books, because the influences that come from all of those books will not enable us to establish ourselves as people who are really servants of God. That's really what we all are. We're one human soul, and we're servants of the Creator that created that soul. I don't have to say that to any of you all. You know that. And we have that language, but it hasn't become part of our culture yet. Education is what preserves that. It's what institutionalizes it. And when we say institutionalize, it means it stays fixed in our conscious mind. It influences us to be who and what we are, because we keep that identity over generations through education. That's why education is of the four institutions. We say four birds, but that's a different issue. They're related issues, but the birds are movements in the soul and in the self, but the institutions come from that. And education is the one that preserves that. So without education, we won't have an identity.
Hmm. Education, without education, we would not have an identity. Very powerful words. Thank you very much. We're going to wrap this portion up. Our program time is up. However, I'm going to continue with a whole different conversation, which is very important. We have a announcement called a war over the Middle East. I got some comments to share on that. And we're going to transfer this to an open mic session. But before we do that, I'm going to bring on my brother, Mark Shaheed. I see he saw his number on here. Oh, there it is. My brother Mark Shaheed has a couple of productions on word on the station IWDM, and he does such a much better job than me. And Brother Mark, I'm bringing you on, because until we get a recorded conversation, I'm going to keep calling on you. Brother Mark Shaheed, assalamu alaikum. Brother Mark?
Yeah.
There he is. How you doing, sir? Yes.
Yes, sir. Sam, I was just listening in, just tuning in, listening in. I came in a little late, just getting in.
No, no one's late. You're on time. But we had a good conversation today, but I left you to do what I always ask you to do, because you're very, we have a full menu 7 days a week of excellent programming on the station IWDM. And
yes.
I want you to do that. But then after you're done, I'm gonna I got about 40 minutes left. I'm going to have an open mic discussion on what's going on in Israel and Gaza. We had to have some clarity on that for us as Muslims as well. But first, Brother Mark, you can tell us about what is the run-up of the, I'm not saying the rundown, the run-up of the program.
Yes, sir. The beat goes on here on IWDM Radio each and every day of the week, 7 days a week. As the beginning of the week, we have our very distinguished esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha, and he hosts a show called ABC. That's Al-Islam-based conversation. It happens each and every Monday evening here on IWDM Radio at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 5 p.m. Central and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Please tune in. And Tuesday, the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam and his recurring guest, instructor Abdul Shaheed, they host an outstanding production called The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. Yes, The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. You have to bring a pen and pad, get all that information. It happens each and every Tuesday night here on IWDM Radio, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Wednesday is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished esteemed Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean out of Miami, Florida. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that's each and every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And then it's followed by the MGM Roundtable. That stands for the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where it's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed. I always invite very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community, Imam Muhammad, outside the community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. It begins each and every Wednesday evening here on IWDM Radio at 8 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And Thursday is the Sister Learning Lab to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And that would be the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And we own the True Love Recipe. For the last 4 months, we've had very outstanding couples that's been married for a long, long time, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, and even one 61 years And we've had some young people that got married while they were still in the IWD Muhammad High School there in Atlanta, Georgia. So we ask that you tune in. It happens each and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, at 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Friday is slot to Juma Day, Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized and they can't get out and about, they can come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mateo Sahir, at Anur Islamic Center each and every Friday. Beginning at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And now we have Sarah D. Field, and it's an outstanding production. Once again, our very distinguished, esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir. He hosts a production called the Muslim Book Club. Yeah, you heard it right. It's the Muslim Book Club. And the first publication that we have that was dedicated to our honorable First Lady and mother of our community, Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the mother of our nation. It happens each and every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, this high noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. We ask that you tune in. This is one of these publications. It's a two-book volume on the mother of our nation, Sister Clara Muhammad. And once you pick that book up and begin to read it, you can't put it down. There's always a reading, and then it's followed up with commentary, a discussion on what has been read for that particular production. And that's each and every Saturday at the IWDM. And you just...
Well, we had mentioned that the book is written by Dr. Zakiya Muhammad.
Dr. Zakiya Muhammad, one of our educator extraordinaire, since has transitioned in IMS, finished up the last of that two-book volume that is had. So we make dua for her for the outstanding work that she got the authorization from our very scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Waithuddin Muhammad, to actually do that. And it's an outstanding publication that she's done, so we want to make sure that we do mention her name. And you just heard it live here, the longest-running production here on IWDM Radio, Words Make People. Once again,
11 years
is celebrated. I just... 11 years. How about that? 11 years here. So congratulations, Brother Imam Mikhail Sahir. We pray a lot that it be 11 plus more years here on IWDM Radio. Words Make People. Sound familiar? It will be also this year's theme for the 2023 time to be grateful. It happens each and every Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Words Make People. Please tune in. All of these productions, we ask that you invite your family members, your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, community members to tune in, because all of them are always filled with information and education and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. We also want to say that IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal, which has been the lifeblood for our community for many, many, many years. We ask that you keep your subscription. And those of you who have wherewithal, think about maybe a family member or a friend, a colleague or a neighbor, or maybe a pioneer in your community, or maybe your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. And last but not least, IWDM Radio, we do support this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful. They'll be held, inshallah, God willing, in Newark, New Jersey, the new home for the Muslim Journal. So with that being said, it's back to you, and this salam is for you and yours. As-salamu alaykum, Imam Mikhail Sahir.
Thank you, Brother Mark Shahid. It's amazing to me how he remembers those details so sharp in my memory. I just want to add, the same phone number you call today is the same phone number you call any 7 days of the week for those shows that he outlined. And the most general of time to be grateful will be in New Jersey, the weekend of December 7th as well. So
that's right, the 7th to the 10th.
Thank you, sir. And before we get into our open discussion on this terrible, sad situation in the Middle East, I want to reiterate that yesterday I was blessed to join many Muslims in Chicago at the American Islamic College, and it was the official induction of the Fez, the famous Fez of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, into the Chicago Historical Museum. There was the brother named Peter, I think I don't know his last name, he's one of the curators. He came to personally take the Fez from the program yesterday at the American Islamic College. The sister who created and made the Fez many years ago, Dr. Shakila Hassan, she was there. She just turned 90 on Friday, October 6th. And she was there. She's sharp. She's on top of smiling, laughing. And people from five generations of her family were there. Five generations of the family of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was there. People were there from Mr. Farrakhan community, Imam Muhammad's community. It was a wonderful occasion. And they announced the creation of a full tuition scholarship in the name of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Sister Claire Muhammad, for their school, the American Islamic College. And the president reminded us they already have another scholarship, a full tuition scholarship called the Imam W.D. Muhammad Scholarship. So it was a wonderful day, wonderful occasion. So alhamdulillah for that. We've got to give some praise for that.
Yeah.
Allah! Akbar! Allah! Akbar!
Alhamdulillah. Now, if you're watching the news, a sad situation been going on for 60, 70 years or longer in a region of our world that has seen constant fighting, displacements, abuses. And another phase of it, I got to say it that way, was initiated yesterday on the Sabbath day for the Jewish community, to where many of the men from the group called Hamas, according to the news report, I have to qualify my statement because I wasn't there. So I qualify it by saying, according to the many, many news reports, Hamas launched an attack on Israel, and the last number I remember seeing, up to 700 Israelis were killed, and in retaliation, over 300 Palestinians so far have been killed. Kind of conversation requires really a sober, direct conversation. We're not trying to stir up anyone's emotions or anything like that. But we have to be, first of all, in the know of what's going on. I did speak with our convener, Dr. Bashir Ali. He said the conveners will be meeting tomorrow and to draft a response. I'm looking forward to that so we can support that voice. So comments today are my personal reflections, and I would like for you, for those who would like to share their thoughts on it. The news is constantly unfolding. Let us begin with our book, the Quran, and follow that up with comments from our prophet, from our prophet, Allah's messenger, Muhammad, peace be upon him. And we know we're told in the Quran in various places, you know, that we are not to be the aggressor. so I'm not pointing the fingers at Hamas as being the aggressor. That's, it goes back so many decades. You know, so we can, there's so many instances of violence on both sides. It's been an ongoing saga. But we are told that we're not to be the aggressor, and Allah tells us again in the Quran, do not let one's people injustice to you make you swerve and do injustice in retaliation. The Quran is very clear on that. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as he fought in battles, he would not cause any harm to the female, the feeble, the elderly, the children. Oftentimes he mentioned about even plants and nature. He would not harm them. He would fight those who were fighting them for the faith. It wasn't for religion. It was for, it was not to convert anybody. It was to defend. So we have clear guidance and examples for how we are to conduct war. But this thing happened yesterday, and looking at history, the retaliation of the Jewish community can be awful, very vengeful. The Jewish community too have limitations. Their law says AI for AI, but historically we hadn't seen that. So we have what happened yesterday with Hamas taking innocent people. We don't find any support for that in Islam. As a matter of fact, you find support in the very opposite. So I'm just speaking some things that we know to be understood. So this is not going to be a session to attack anybody with emotion. But we do want to hear sober-minded comments or prayers, because we need prayer and suggestions. We know that the Palestinian people have not received good treatment. I personally have been to Bethlehem, and I've been behind their wall where they live, and I've seen the conditions with my own two eyes and talked to the people. And so I do have that experience for myself. And also, what was interesting, I was surprised to find that there were people from around the world in various countries who came to that area to help. And there was even, I got their phone on speakerphone, I'm hearing feedback. There's even a group called Rabbis for Humanity. I was surprised to find out they existed. But they were really working for the good of other Palestinians. Those kind of groups don't make the news. So I'm just citing that to say, be careful what you just feed off from the newspaper, from the general media. Get your news from various sources. Find you a connection with Al Jazeera. Listen to what's her name? My goodness, come here to me. Emma come to me in a minute. She's very popular. And she's a Jewish woman too, but she's very balanced. Maybe it can, inshallah, to come back to me. But let's have a conversation. I'm bringing Mike on. If you're already on, some of you are already on. But I'm going to go to this first caller here, 856. Sister Sultana, she's been on already. But we want intelligent conversation. We don't want to even bash your name calling, because that's not going to solve anything. This is a serious situation. And this situation can have worldwide ramifications. So we want to be intelligent Muslims about helping and about healing. If you can't help or heal, I'm taking you back off. And you're just going to do what I had a right to do, don't like to do. This is a very important conversation. Sister Susan, you have a comment on this particular topic?
Yeah, well, you know, when the human being starts making decisions, whether this is right or wrong, you have to look. One group of people have stones, and the other group of people have guns. Mm. There's no fairness in that.
That's true.
I mean, to sit down at a table and talk about it would be the answer. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yeah. Very good observation. Because, you know, we know since mainly since 1948, the Jewish community, I'm sorry, the Palestinian community has suffered big losses. And we can't be afraid to say it because it's true. They have lost.
Mm-hmm.
When I was there, you know, I didn't measure, but it'd be at least 15, 20 feet tall cement wall. It reminded me when I was volunteering going to the prisons, those big cement walls around the prison, to where they had cordoned off the Palestinians and they had to go past guards and through turnstiles you know, to get to work every day, you know, and at these different checkpoints. So people's houses, they have like a big vat, like a big tub. And for the Palestinians in Bethlehem, and once a month, they would fill those tubs up with water. But if you ran out of water for the month was up, it was shame on you. And so that's not saying that all Palestinians are innocent, because they're not. All Jews are not guilty. You can't say that and affect progress. So we have to recognize that the Palestinians have suffered a lot. Now, did they lose focus on what the Quran said? The Quran says, don't allow one person's injustice to you, make use for injustice. Has that happened? And we can see from yesterday, when you take innocent civilians and kill them wholesale and kidnap them, I'm hard-pressed to find Quranic Islamic support for that. You go to our next caller, 773 numbers, 773-414. You're on Words Made People. Can you give us your thoughts and comments, please?
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Bashir from Chicago.
Yes, sir.
Yes. In viewing the situation, as you said, Brother Imam, we have to be sober-minded in these situations. Allah guides us even during war, that we keep a sober mind.
Yes,
and
sir.
And, you know, we live in a real world, either real reality. You know, and Allah, in his guidance to us, he sensitizes us and wakes us up to these realities. So in the news that I've been reading, you know, the injustice has been put upon about Palestinian people, that they have been unjust. I listened to a radio program yesterday, and a Israeli commentator, they call him a liberal, but he explained the situation that occurred in this respect. He said that if you put a situation of people in a pressure cook situation, as the Palestinians have been in, at some point that pressure is going to burst. So that's how he kind of described that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Another Israeli came on, and he was very stern against that position that he took. But I'd like to read something from the Quran, and let me make another comment. I heard the president of the United States to talk about this situation and how we back Israel. Israel is our friend. And we back them and give them their right of defense. But you hardly hear them say the right of the defense of the Palestinians. They don't give them that equal justice that the Palestinian people need also to redress the wrongs and the injustices that have been put upon them. And Allah gives the Muslim And when I say Muslim, I'm saying the whole of humanity, the right to defend themselves against injustice.
Yes, sir.
So it's been pointed out in the United Nations and other world bodies that there is an injustice going on in the Palestinian people. And for its, you know, Brother Imam Bashir Ali and that organization, I think, too, we have to take a position ourselves. And Imam Wardi Muhammad took a position. And because of his positions, the United States government came to him and consulted to him on situations like this. We have to put ourselves in a situation, too, where they come to us. And we can give them from our insights, background in the Quran, what we think is the proper position for us to take. Now, let me read just two verses from the Quran and the sober mind to tell us in this situation. And this is from Ayat 4:135. O you who believe, stand out firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah, even against yourselves and your parents or your kin, and whether it be against rich or poor, for Allah can best protect both. Follow not the lust of your hearts, lest ye swerve. And if you distort justice or decline to do justice, verily Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. So this is a position of sober majesty we take. Now here's a position that this U.S. government takes in their coming to the defense of the Israeli government and the Jews. They say become Jews or Christians if you would be guided to salvation. Say thou, nay, I would rather the religion of Abraham, the truth, and he joined not gods with Allah.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, I present those two to those arguments or to our position and our position to those who would say, well, we're with the Israelis, whether they're just or unjust, right or wrong, you know. And we have to address these issues. And I'm saying our community of Muslims, we need to address these issues. That's what I'm like.
Very good. Thank you very much. You brought up some excellent points. Because if we can't speak the truth because someone is so close to us, as the verse Quran says, even be against your own self, your mother or your father, be the poor, you know, rise to the occasion and tell the truth. And that's has been a big challenge in that region. They have politicized their responses according to needs or requests that's not really being fair and being honest. They're not laying the cards on the table, so to speak. And people see that. And people, in particular, the ones who are being oppressed, because it is, you know, even this past Ramadan, on a number of times, the Muslims were at Masjid al-Aqsa making prayer, Taweer prayers for Ramadan. And the foot came in there shooting and were popping off those or they're not rockets, but people were being terrorized while in the masjid making salat this year, you know, but they don't make the news. So as Brother Bashir Saw was saying, you know, when we tell the truth, tell the whole truth, regardless of who or what. So we have to make prayers that this be resolved quickly. We have to speak with clarity, speak with balance, speak with hikmah, that is the wisdom. And people, they will recognize that in their mind and in their soul. But we have to have the courage to do that and encourage them to do the same. That program I was trying to think of is called Democracy Now. That's the name of the program. Listen to those programs as well. And even myself, and people kind of laugh at me, occasionally, you know, I watch Fox News. You say, why you watch Fox News for? And I say, well, you got to know what everybody's saying. even though I had to miss kind of hard sometimes, I'll be honest about it. But I listen to Fox News, I listen to CNN News, MSNBC, and the others, because all of them tell some truth and all of them tell some lies, all of them. So put on your thinking cap. Any other comments about the situation going over in Israel in Gaza and that situation? How can we bring our intellects and our heart and souls to address such evils? Because it's evil. It's evil. And that's why Imam Muhammad told us why we do not, when we read in the Quran, that's one chapter, that we do not say Bismillah or Rahman or Rahim. That's chapter number 9. And Brother Asada, I don't know if she was there or not, but he said one reason why we do not say Bismillah or Rahman or Rahim before reading chapter 9 is because chapter 9 deals with war, fighting, killing. And what happened yesterday, though, I know there's a history, a long, long history, even before 1948, of Palestinians being abused and kicked out of homes and losing lives. We recognize that, so I'm not playing that down. But when we look at the whole Quranic view or response that's allowed to us, going in there killing innocent Israeli citizens, I don't find accommodation for that in the Quran. I don't find it. I don't find it. So see on the news, they go in there, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, as they are kidnapping the Israelis. How can we square that up? I mean, can that be squared up? I don't know if these hands are up. I'm looking at my phone. Brother Mark, are you still on, Brother Mark? You have any comments on that?
Yes. I didn't know I was still on. No, I was just listening. And a matter of fact, at the Halakha session earlier today in the STL, that was the conversation at the Halakha session in terms of the happenings. You know, Allah says in the Quran, I don't have the surah nor the ayah, but I'm quite sure the learning in our community. Allah says in the Quran to repel evil with something better, evil with something. And the one thing that our Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, actually, the civility that the Prophet demonstrated in his time have been used by the civilized nations in terms of POWs and treating them in a humane way, not taking the lives of innocent people. It's very important, women and children, the innocent. The Prophet gave orders not to do that. And then even when the command, and that command didn't come in terms of actually war and defending yourself until you were in a position to be able to do so. But there was still constraints in everything that the Prophet gave. So this has been going on, as you say, since 1948-49. In regards to that, is actually in terms of when you see that you have the type of conflict, and I know there's been many that have attempted to do mediation between the two sides, but I think that we have to, as you say, prayer is always at the forefront. But I do think that some communication, some negotiations have to be truly made. And I think it may have to come from even our community and you said the position, because, you know, it's real time when the Prophet has said to us that when you see a wrong, that And just stay in your heart. It's in our heart. Why? Because we see innocent lives being lost. And we don't distinguish in terms of human life because we know Allah is the creator of the whole of the human creation. So it hurts our heart to see those type of things. That's devastation. Innocent people, they belong to a family. They were children and husbands and wives and, you know, sisters and brothers, you know. So this hurts our heart to see this. So I'm glad to hear that the national conveners of Imam, a good brother and friend, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, and the sectional conveners will be getting together. I know that that would be what Imam Muhammad, our leader and teacher, would want us to do. And actually, to even maybe take a step even further in regards to speaking up and speaking out and having something come as a representation from the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and even to the point of even trying to help in terms of negotiation, some genuine help. And I think also in terms of even speaking to the leaders in this country, because it goes as in the Quran, you know, those who resist peace and do not want to have peace and continue, and Allah says you have to come against them in that regard. And generality is never the reality. It's not all Jewish that are bad. That's not all Palestinian people are bad. You have some good and bad on both sides. But evil, as Allah has said in the Quran, we are to repel evil with something that is better than. So war is not right. It never has been right. And I thank you for bringing that up in the Quran. You know, whereas Allah does not approve of that because innocent lives will be taken and all. I can say more, but, you know, this is really something that has, we should have a sensitivity toward that. And we should never let things that happen in human society and become cold and callous toward that whenever lives are being lost, and especially we have innocent lives. Well, all we have to do is to sit down to the peace table and do what's right. We have to stand for right. I thank that brother for giving those ayats, because when you have to be just and fair, have to stand up against yourself and people that you love and your family and all, it means that you can stand up for right anywhere. And that's the disposition and the position that we have to take. I'll stop. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you very much. Alaikum assalam. Yes. We're going to get to our sister Sultana here in a second. See her hand thrown back up. I'm looking forward to what she has to say. Stand up for what is right. We don't have any choice. Sister Sultana. I cannot think of my thought. I lost it. So we can hear from you.
Okay. I think we need to understand that Israel is a component of two factors. One is the actual Jew that believes in Allah, and the other one is a Zionist who does not believe in a hereafter and doesn't believe, you know, their mindset is completely different, and they are the ones who are being established. You know, I am confused about how anyone could ask me for money to support something, and I can't even get reparations. I have no money. Huh? But... Right. When I have a tax dollar, is going to Israel? What going to? Hey, and nobody's taking care of us, huh?
Yeah, they got money because just last week they were talking about one particular party You see, we run out of money for Ukraine. We have no money for Ukraine, but all of a sudden, you know, they got money. So they have some money. There's always money. And they can't stop looking trash. But I just think of my point that I wanted to share with you all, and I think we are really sensitive to it. We do not want to allow, and I don't think it would be a problem in communities in association with female Bahamas. I really don't. But there may be some communities, Muslim communities, I'm saying, that because of what happened now in Israel, Gaza area, they could be influenced to their emotions to respond to that. And I heard people say it when different places, different countries, he say, Yahudi no good. Come on, Yahudi means the Jews. Yahudi no good. And I'm like, that's a blanket statement. So we do not want to be of those who make blanket statements, emotional blanket statements. And we do not want to create an atmosphere to where any sector of our community can now become a target. We know as African Americans have been a target for so long. We know the problem with that. So we do not want to commit the same wrong as Muslims and create environments to where a person can't walk down the street here in America. And that's a reality, and that can happen. So the voice of reason, the voice of common sense, as Brother Mark said, it may get blood come from the community, Imam Tawhid Muhammad. We have to raise that voice. And do not allow language environment, negative language environment, to foster and to grow based upon this situation. We must be those who clarify those misconceptions. So, dear people, it's about 5 minutes to the hour, or 8 minutes to the hour. I have enjoyed every minute of it. These shows are archived. Every show on station IWDM, they're recorded automatically, and within 10 minutes, once the show goes off, 5-10 minutes, the show is ready to be listened to all over again. And so she has the invitation that has the link. When they go out, there's a phone number, and there's a link where you can use that link anytime you want and listen to this program and other programs on this station whenever you want to, or share them with family and friends. So we want to keep that aware with everyone. So with that said, I thank you all, one and all. Brother Muhammad Amin, I love you. Whenever I see him going off, you got a question. All right, Brother Muhammad Amin, you got me again.
All right.
Come on.
Okay.
What is it? Is this right, Muhammad Amin Muhammad. I'm sorry. Amin Muhammad from L.A.
Yeah, right. This is Sister Claire Muhammad, stemschool.com. Yeah, I joined three museums this week. And right now I happen to be at the California Science Center. And I just want to tell our people, you see these young Caucasian fathers, you know, pushing strollers up and down these museums. It's a natural history museum. It's like a space museum. It's all kind of museums here in L.A. But I just want to tell our people, you got these little young Caucasian men, anywhere from, 20 to 50, 60, pushing strollers with their children. I just heard one of them say, look at that huge fuel tank. That's the fuel tank for the space shuttle, because it's huge. It's huge. And a little boy said, yeah, I know, Dad, something like that. Yeah. So this is what we need to get with. You know, we need to introduce our children to science very early in life, mathematics, get them grounded in mathematics very early in life. You know what I mean? Stay with them. Stay with your children. Bring them to museums. Forget a football game. Forget that. And Imam Muhammad said, boxing is un-Islamic. So I just wanted to share that, and let me go and check out my membership. And good show, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Who's speaking?
Well, this is Brother Bashir. I'd just like to make a closing comment. And in our earlier discussion on Claire Muhammad Weekend School, and since we yesterday recognized the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his efforts, you know, he stressed very much education during his leadership. And our leader, Imam Wardi Muhammad, benefited very much from the educational efforts from his father. And just like to make this comment, you know, that he said that you will not be equal to the white man until you have equal education. And our schools, I know our schools throughout the country, I know in Chicago, they were recognized for the superior educational efforts that were made. So in speaking of education and recognizing his birthday, we recognize his great efforts in education for our people.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And one other thing, too, just wanted to let you know, when we talked about the French and Spanish and Arabic, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had that too as part of his efforts. And
I didn't know that.
You know, many of the world was colonialized, and you find English, French, and Spanish spoken throughout the world because of the colonization of those countries.
Thank you. Excellent observation. I heard a sister's voice. Okay, I thought I heard a sister's voice. All right, dear beloved people, inshallah, see you next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam.